Yes, Matthew 13, the verses 44 through 46. And then I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 3 and be reading the first 11 verses, but we'll be focusing specifically this morning on verses 7 and 8. First of all, Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, one of the parables of Jesus. And this is the reading of God's Word. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And then I'll be reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, the first 11 verses, but focusing even more specifically on verses 7 and 8. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. I begin this morning in Matthew chapter 13 once again. And in Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus Christ is describing for us, by way of parables, the kingdom of heaven. In the first parable that he tells us in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. The kingdom of heaven is described as a treasure, as something very, very valuable. So valuable that when a man finds it hidden in a field, he hides the treasure in the field again, then sells all his earthly possessions and goes out to buy that field. So precious is this treasure, it is more precious than anything he owns. Think about that. Selling all your earthly possessions, your house, your savings, everything that you have in an effort to buy this field, to attain this treasure. And Jesus goes on in the second parable, verse 47 or 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Jesus again describes the kingdom of heaven as being very valuable. A merchant looking for fine pearls finds the most precious pearl representing the kingdom of heaven, and again he goes to sell all that he has to buy it and obtain this pearl. The kingdom of heaven and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior, is the most valuable thing that anyone could possibly know. So valuable, it is worth more than anything on this earth that anyone could obtain or desire to have. That is the desire and the hope of one who seeks to gain and obtain the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which forgives their sins. And as we turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is using this same language to describe profit and loss. In verse 7 he writes, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." One minister who was preaching on this verse described it as your Form 1040 Schedule C, profit and loss. Paul is describing the meaning of what it means to gain the kingdom of heaven and to lose everything upon this earth. But what does he mean in this particular context of verse 7? Well, if you remember, in the church in Philippi, we have many difficulties and many problems. They are arguing and complaining with one another. There are people who think of themselves better than others, and causing most of the difficulties we have learned in chapter 3 are the Judaizers. What are the Judaizers doing to cause all this trouble? The Judaizers are crediting their heritage, their Jewish background, as being in addition to their love for Christ and their need for Christ. They are crediting their circumcision to their own account so that they are better than those Gentile Christians who may not have been circumcised. They are crediting their Jewish customs and religious upbringing as being better than those Gentiles who do not follow those customs or those laws and who do not have that upbringing. And to address this particular problem, the Apostle Paul has put himself in the position in comparison to those Judaizers. You see, the Apostle Paul is telling the Philippian believers, do not listen to these people. Do not listen to these Judaizers who are telling you that in addition to knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can consider yourself better than others if you were born in the right family, if you were circumcised on the right day, and if you follow the Jewish customs and the Old Testament laws. Paul is saying that it is not right for the Judaizers to believe in all those things and then put Jesus Christ with it. You see, the Judaizers are saying, we have the Jewish heritage. We have our circumcision. We have our zealousness for the law. And we also have Jesus Christ. So because we have all those things in combination with one another, we are better than the Gentile Christians. We are better by our works of the flesh, by our heritage, than those other Christians who do not have that heritage and who do not live according to those customs. We are better Christians than the others. And so the Apostle Paul, in addressing this problem, says, look, if anybody could take credit for their heritage or for their fleshly deeds, it would be me. This is what he tells them in verse 4, second half of the verse. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I'm an eighth day circumciser. I was circumcised on the very eighth day, the day that Abraham was instructed to circumcise the Jewish infants. I'm of the tribe of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I can trace my lineage to that very Jewish heritage. And the Apostle Paul is saying, if anybody could take credit for those things, it's me. He goes on to say, not only do I have the heritage, but I was a Pharisee. I had zeal for the law, zeal for the Jewish customs. If anybody could profit from their faithfulness to the Jewish laws and their faithfulness in being born in the right family and circumcised on the right day, the Apostle Paul says, it's me. But, verse 7, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What the Judaizers are saying is to their profit, their heritage, their circumcision, their faithfulness and zeal. What they are considered to be their profit above the other Christians, Paul is saying, I consider that loss. It's gone. I had to give that up. It doesn't count as I stand before Jesus Christ and as I know Him and the salvation He has provided. Those are the things I had to leave behind. Those are the things which gained me nothing but selfish pride before Christ. None of those things count for my salvation. None of those things count for the Judaizers' salvation. That must all be lost for the sake of Christ. Paul tells the Philippians. But he goes on in verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. What is the meaning of Jesus' parables in Matthew 13? A great treasure that is hidden in the field. The man sells all that he has to buy the field so he can have that treasure. What is so precious in that treasure? What is so precious that a merchant would sell all of his other jewels, all of his other pearls, so he could obtain that one precious pearl? What is so precious to the kingdom of heaven in comparison to that? Paul is telling us in verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The most precious thing that anyone could ever know is Jesus Christ. The most precious thing that anyone could ever know is knowing that Jesus Christ came down from heaven to this earth. That He came to live on this world in obedience to His Father for our salvation. That He came to die and spilled His precious blood, the Son of God, for the sake of His people, to die on the cross and to rise again for their salvation. That is the most precious thing that anyone could ever know. That is the kingdom of heaven. And Paul is telling the Judaizers, look and understand what that means. How can I stand in the presence of the surpassing greatness of Jesus Christ and know what He has done for me on the cross in dying for me and say, well, along with that, I have my heritage. Along with that, I have my circumcision. Along with that, I have these laws that I have been zealous for keeping, Lord. It's like standing before Christ and what He has done and His precious blood which has been spilled and saying, but look at what I've done along with what You have done. Paul says, you can't do that. Do you see and understand what you're doing when you take credit in the flesh for what you have done? When you take credit for the family you have been born to and you compare that to Jesus Christ? All of that pales in comparison to Jesus Christ, to His surpassing greatness, to His precious blood which has been spilled. That is the supreme treasure of all things, No one can earn this treasure. No one can stand before that precious blood which has been spilled and say, but I deserve credit too for my salvation because of who I am, because of my faithfulness and what I've done. That's what the Apostle Paul understands. And that's why he uses this language of profit and loss. The Judaizers are taking credit for their works, for their heritage, for what they're doing, and they're saying, we're better than other Christians. Jesus will bless us more because of who we are. And Paul is saying, no, no, no. They don't understand, do they? All of that has to be given up for the sake of this treasure, for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. I had to give it all up. If anyone could take credit, it would be me. But I consider it all loss in the face of Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished and what he has done for me. But notice the language that the apostle uses in this verse, verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. My Lord. He identifies him presently as his Lord, as if he is presently with him now. Now, do you see how the apostle takes what Jesus has said in his parables even one step further? You see, in the parables that we have read from Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is described as something you must obtain. You must lose everything to obtain that kingdom. And once you obtain it, you have it. You have it, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. You have it like a treasure, like a pearl. You have given up everything to obtain it. And now you have it. And what the Judaizers have done is they have said, well, we're Christians too because we have Jesus Christ, but we also have with it all of our zeal for the law. We also have with it our heritage, our circumcision, the things we have done, all of those things working together with what we obtained at one point in the past. And the Apostle Paul says, that's not how it works. The surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my personal Lord, is with me all the time. I am always in his presence. It's not just something that you obtain in the past and then you add all those things you do, all those good things you do to it so that when you stand before Christ, it's all together. It all works for your salvation. So is the thinking of the Judaizers. The Apostle Paul says, no, this is something that takes place each and every day. This is something that you must always recognize, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, that the good things that you do are not for your salvation or in comparison to his surpassing greatness. The good things that you do only give the evidence that you belong to him. They are not for your salvation, for Jesus Christ alone has accomplished salvation. Now, what have the Judaizers done? They have said, okay, we have obtained the kingdom because we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And along with that, what makes us even better are our heritage, are our faithfulness to the circumcision, faithfulness to Jewish customs and laws, and all that working together makes us better. The Philippians quite possibly could say, well, we have obtained the kingdom and were Roman citizens. We're good friends with the Apostle Paul. We've given him money. I'm the main teacher in the church. God will bless me. All of these things contributing to my salvation. And Paul says, no. The surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord is greater than anything you can possibly do. None of those things are a credit to your salvation. For he is your Lord. For he is your King. For he is your Savior. For he alone is precious above all things. And nothing that you do can compare to his surpassing greatness. The things that you seek to try to do for your salvation, for your deliverance, Paul considers them rubbish. Rubbish, the end of verse 8. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. In the same verse where he has described knowing Jesus Christ and his surpassing greatness, his treasure as a precious pearl, as precious as a treasure worth selling everything that you have for, he uses the word rubbish to describe his own efforts, his own works. In comparison to Jesus Christ and what he has done, everything that I am and everything I seek to do is like rubbish in his sight. Now think about that. We like to take credit for things we do, don't we? Oh, I'm a faithful Christian because I've given so much financially to the church. I'm a faithful Christian because I've been a Sunday school teacher for 15 to 20 years. I'm a faithful Christian because I was raised in the church and I was baptized from an infant. And I've always supported the work of the church. I help poor people or seek to help those who are in need. We like to take credit for what we do. We like to think that somehow by what we have done, God looks and smiles upon us for how wonderful we are. Paul says that's rubbish. Now, what does that mean? Is Paul telling us, well, I guess we shouldn't do good things then, right? We shouldn't try to be faithful. No, that's not what Paul is telling us. Paul is telling us that if we look at what we do and think of what we do as somehow being credited to our account, that we're better than other Christians, or that somehow in God's eyes, because what we've done, God is going to bless us and shower his love upon us because of all the wonderful things and wonderful person we are. Paul says that's rubbish. In comparison to Jesus Christ and what he has done, our best efforts are rubbish. What we do is only in response and a testimony to our identification with Jesus Christ and what he has already accomplished on our behalf. The good things that we do are not for our salvation. The good things that we do are in response to the things that God has accomplished and done for us. The preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are the things you must give up. That's what Paul is telling us in these verses. What I once considered as to my profit, my heritage, my circumcision on the right day, my zeal for the law, even as a Pharisee, what I once considered all working out so that God would bless me and look at me in better eyes, I've now realized it's all loss. It's rubbish for my salvation. But when I have the precious blood of Jesus Christ, when I have Him and know Him as my Lord and as my Savior, and I desire to serve Him, and I understand what He has accomplished for me, all my efforts are rubbish. But my desire of my heart is to serve Him and to live for Him and to demonstrate in my life that He is my Lord, my Savior, forevermore. We just sang that song, "Can a Little Child Like Me Thank the Father Fittingly?" And as the words of the song, as we just sung, go on, it describes how the child can thank the Lord for what Jesus has accomplished. The things and the faithfulness of the person are not for the person's salvation. The things and the faithfulness of the person are out of thanks for the faithfulness of Jesus and a demonstration of our identification with Him. Paul writes of what he once considered profit is now loss. What do you consider your profit? Is the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ the focal point and the center of your life? When you see that and you know that, all of your best efforts pale in comparison to Him. To lose everything for the kingdom is to lose all of the things that you in your heart seek to take credit for. To hold on to Him as your treasure, to lose everything you're taking credit for, and to profit with His amazing grace and His precious blood, and to live for Him as your Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, how easy it is for each one of us to fall into the understanding of taking credit for what we do and for who we are. And Father, as we read these words of the apostle, as we seek and know the precious blood of Jesus and understand His surpassing greatness, we see that our best efforts fall short. Father, may You help us to always have the mindset that what we do is not for our profit. What we do is for our loss in comparison to Jesus. And may what we do only be seen in the light of our thankfulness for what You have accomplished on our behalf. May we faithfully demonstrate the love that Jesus has poured out upon us by the good things that we do. May we, Lord, be faithful as we serve Him, as we demonstrate His love. And may our lives as believers reflect Him each and every day as our own personal Lord. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.